This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey everybody, it's Chesco, the speech prof, and I want to give you a little heads up and that I'm going to talk about the fact that this is the final episode of Bad Advice Wednesdays. But the podcast isn't ending. Starting next week, Reagan from the F the Nice Guy podcast is going to be joining me permanently here on our new show titled Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater, which was inspired by one of our favorite hate comments I've ever received. If you already subscribe here, you don't have to do anything else. You're already going to be subscribed to our new show, and you just get to hear the two of us going off on all the horrible things that you hear about the internet. So without further ado, here is the final episode of Bad Advice Wednesdays, featuring the same person that I had on for my very first episode of Bad Advice Wednesdays, Amelia Sampson.
You want more advice, dole it out gladly. You want bad advice, man, I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
What's up, everybody? This is Chesco, the speech prof, and this is Bad Advice Wednesdays, the show where we listen to the worst of what the internet has to offer, and we try to laugh at it so we don't cry. And today, the person that's going to help me kind of break down the horribleness of the internet is one of my favorite people that I've met online. She was the first guest of Bad Advice Wednesdays way back. When I don't even remember how long ago that was, and now she is going to be technically the final guest. That sounds bad, right? That sounds like I'm ending the show entirely. But we're transitioning. I'm making something new. We'll talk about that later. But Amelia, welcome to Bad Advice Wednesdays.
Thank you so much for having me, Chesco. I feel so honored to be your first and last guest in this format of the podcast. It is truly an honor. And you saying that I'm one of your favorite people that you've met on the internet is going to sustain me for like a full month. So I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I mean, through you, I got to fall in love with your boyfriend. So,
Chesco, You are coming for my man. And every time I get a message from you, whenever I post a video of him, I'm like,
he seems wonderful.
You don't look at him. He's the best. So, I mean, the Chesco seal of approval from afar, you know, with how much you know, counts for more than you understand. So I appreciate that.
I think when we started talking, you just made it public at that point, or recently made it public. That you were right around that time.
When did you start the podcast?
That's a great question that I should know the answer to.
That's okay.
It was, no, I'm going to look. First of all, right, while I'm looking that up, how's it going? Tell me about like how it's been like being, cause your thing was about dating, your podcast or your show, everything was about like you're at that point, was about like navigating the dating scene, looking at Tinder, all these profiles. How has that transitioned or changed, or has it since you've found love?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I get that question a lot and I love talking about it because from the beginning, since I've been doing this, people have been commenting like, what happens when you get into a relationship? Like, are we still going to get these videos? And I have always said, I'm only going to date someone who is okay with me being me and like doing what makes me happy. And this makes me happy. And for a very long time, I haven't had to source my own screenshots. People send me just the horrid things that they see on dating apps. So I don't need to be like actively searching. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's been really great. And he is so, so supportive. He's always like one of the first people to see my videos every time. Mm. But I've also been trying to kind of transition away from like the dating app stuff, just into more general comedy, mm-hmm. which is rough because there's so many funny people on TikTok and having a niche is really helpful. Right. But it has kind of been that natural transition mm-hmm. in that way. So yeah, it's been really good. I'm still doing my thing, just still having fun with it. And it really hasn't affected me in any way, so, like internet wise.
I can tell you, and because I'm, you know, very similar in the sense that I have, I do like relationship content, but I also do ADHD content. I also do comedy content. I also do everything yeah. under the sun. Like you're someone that absolutely, I think, will thrive or continue thriving as a personality based kind of creator. Just because you're interesting, right? I think a lot of people rely on the niche and they think they need the niche because, because they think that, oh, that's what people care about. But in reality, you know, why does somebody follow Amelia Simpson, right? It's not because, oh, she is the Tinder person, right? It's because you're interesting. You're fun. Yeah. You're funny. Right. And that's you become like an internet best friend, right?
Yeah. So, Chesco, what the heck? I need you to know how much weight like a Chesco compliment holds for me.
Okay.
It's because I just admire you so much. Ooh. I think that you're just so incredible at what you do. And you're just like so good. Like from the beginning, I've just been like, this person just like, you're so funny. You are so level-headed. And so just anytime I get any sort of Chesco flowers, I'm like, oh, I'm doing something right. So I really appreciate it. No, it's been okay mm-hmm. with the transitioning into just like general funny stuff. Mm-hmm. You know how the algorithms are on TikTok.
Right.
It's like, unless I'm talking about dating or using like the green screen mm-hmm. filter, nothing performs. Right. So it's been interesting, but I made a video yesterday about cocktail weenies, okay. which is a total diversion okay. from dating. So we're jumping into the deep end this week. I'm feeling good about just doing a total diversion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing about TikTok too. And this is probably going to be a very niche conversation, but like, and that's I started like branching off back when the original like Congress hearings were starting about, or all the talk about TikTok was being banned. So this is like fairly early. And I was like, well, I better start growing other places. And I have found that everywhere else is better.
Yeah.
It's okay, so
that's
weird.
Good to know. Yeah. That's so good to know. I do think that like the other platforms have been really good at like picking up on TikTok's shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Like I think that they hear all of the frustrations that people have because Instagram specifically recently, I mean, I get the most heinous comments yeah. on Instagram, but like in terms of the potential to go viral mm-hmm. has gotten so much better mm-hmm. on Instagram.
Well, I will tell you,
it used to be,
once you get, cause I know your Instagram following is still fairly small compared to TikTok. And that one, the beauty of it is once you get bigger, I have noticed that for the first like 24 hours, it's this beautiful, loving comment section of just the people that follow me. And that's only time I read comments now. After that, I'm just done. Because then it starts spreading to like the toxicity of the world. And I know it's yes. just going to get so bad. And so that video stops existing in my mind after that point.
That's brilliant. It's tough because I have this issue where like, this is not good for being a content creator mm-hmm. that so two parts of this. I was bullied growing up. So like,
no.
I think that I know me of all people. No, but I was bullied growing up and
that, wait, hold on. Can I pause for a second? That sounds like I was being yeah. really mean to you. Like, of course you were bullied. No, no. That I feel like I feel like it's gonna come off like I was like, yeah, fucking of course Amelia Simpson was bullied.
Yeah, this freak.
I mean, what's the joke? If you're funny, you were probably bullied at some point, right? Oh, and we're you know,
absolutely.
So and so I no, was not saying you did not deserve that, Amelia. Let me do real shock. What? That is unacceptable. Tell me more. Where were you going with this? I can't imagine a world where this would happen.
No, but that's exactly how it is, though. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Like, I was a theater kid growing mm-hmm. up. Like, I was just kind of like a
well, that,
weirdo.
Okay,
not
now,
that being
now
a theater
I deserve
kid makes you it a makes weirdo. But yeah, right. I mean, like, I was strange. Yeah. So it did prep me for like this kind of world of like people just picking you apart for like dumb mm-hmm. shit. But like, I also have grown up now with this like need to be the one with the final word. Mm. And like, that is just not the best for these comment sections. Like, the people that end up on my videos are just, they just say the dumbest shit. Like, just like, oh, like level 5 yapper. Mm. That's like a new thing.
Level 5 yapper.
Like, you know, stuff. Yeah, that was one I got yesterday. I was like, how high does the scale go? Like, is that good? Like, am I?
I mean, that's impressive. It's better than level 4, right? You got to do it. You got to go full.
Thank you.
Unless, what if it was like a level 1 to 100, though? Maybe he was insulting you.
That's the thing.
You're not yapping
enough.
What's
the scale? Is the scale up to 5? Mm-hmm. Like, do I need to keep trying? Mm-hmm. Right. So I get these comments and I'm like, I have to be the one to say the last word. And I need to get out of that because that's what they want. They like want you to interact with them. But it's just not. It's not easy for me to just shut it off. So I need to take some of your advice and just only read the comments at the beginning.
I mean, I'm also partially lying because I also will get it. It's usually, I still do see them. It's more so, this is what I'm attempting to do. And then I end up breaking that advice occasionally and my day is ruined. Because, all right, this is, as an anxiety-ridden person to another anxiety-ridden person, you could get like, I can get 1,000 beautiful comments, but it'll be that one comment. And I don't think I'm supposed to admit that it gets to me, but I think about it all day long, right? It just gets stuck. Yeah, it's that earworm. And I'm like, I need to let them know how dumb they are.
Yeah. Well, that's why they do it. That's like, they see all these positive comments. I mean, and this isn't the case for everyone, obviously that's post hate, but I am certain like a big percentage of the people that comment these awful things do it because they know that it'll get to you.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just... Because why else like comment like, oh, you're ugly on like a stranger's video if you don't think that they're going to see it and or they're going to care about it. So it's just like when I'm able to like separate myself from that in that sense, it's kind of like, okay, like.
And they're so specific, the stuff they pick on.
Yes.
It's like, so I have bad allergies, right? I literally have never known that it looks like I'm crying apparently or high all the time. I just figured, oh, that's my little secret. I have allergies. Nobody will ever know. The amount of time, why are you, this is a funny video. Why are you crying, bro? I'm like, I want you to think about why do you think my eyes, do you think I'm crying because I'm making a joke about this random thing? Or could there be another reason?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And then you want to say something. You want to correct them. That's the, like, I cannot not correct them.
Right.
That's my fatal flaw. Right.
It's like, what, do you want them to just walk around thinking they were correct all day long?
Yeah, I can't let you have that. No, not if I can help it. Mm-mm.
So I looked it up. I released my first episode in June of last year, but we recorded it like 3 months before that or 2 or 3 months before that. So I don't know when.
Okay, that makes sense.
So is that right around?
Yeah, we went on our first date in March.
Okay.
And then, we were like official, whatever that means, beginning of May.
Okay.
So that it was makes right. Sense. That tracks. Perfect.
Yeah. Wow. So this has been your relationship, right? I get to bookend it.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So I have to have you on again in the future because if this is the end of our online relationship, that might. Oof.
Is this an omen?
I hope not. I hope it's all been my plan to swoop in and take him for myself.
Yeah, you're playing the long game here. It might work.
I had the flu over Christmas, and this stupid cough just won't go away. I've had it for, like, was it 5 weeks, 6 weeks now? And
I remember you posting.
Yeah, the doctor said it could be up to 8 weeks. All right, and so you walk around and you feel like you're just this plague carrier. I'm like, I swear to God, it's just I had the flu 6 weeks ago, and people are like, thanks for giving me COVID, asshole, and I'm sorry.
That's the thing. COVID has made everyone forget that other illnesses exist. Mm-hmm. Like whenever anyone has a cold, I'm like, a what?
Right.
People still get that. It's like the Stone Ages. Right. I'm like, what is that? Like the plague?
Or you, when you get
what
a
do
cold,
you mean a cold?
Yeah. When you get a cold, you're like, oh, here is it. Did I get it? Better take 7 COVID tests.
Right. It's like, it says negative, but I'm for sure positive. Yeah. Totally. What else could it be? Well, I'm sorry that you still have this lingering cough.
It's very annoying.
It's so frustrating.
It's giving me, it's like the worst I think it's giving me sick. A good gravel, though. I think it gives me a little more character. I have a young Morgan Freeman. No, that's really insulting to Morgan Freeman to say that.
But it has hints.
It's me hoping to one day transition and grow up to be.
You're manifesting.
It's my vocal
fry. That's not an insult. That's a compliment.
Yeah, it's my vocal fry, right? That nobody cares that I have, right?
Right. Damn, that's woke, Chesco. Mm-hmm. That is so true. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mila. Well, I tried to find some clips that I think we could discuss and kind of relate to your own life a little bit, and you could give us another perspective on whether or not these are true. Right. These are real. These are things that men should be listening to and applying to their own lives. This first one is one. I just want you to hear the first line just to give you an idea about what you're about to hear.
Three reasons why women are ruined forever.
I hope this doesn't. Okay. It's going to be hard to hear this as a woman.
It's important that I know this.
Were you aware that you were ruined forever already?
You know, I've been feeling it, you know, and I haven't known why. Mm. So I'm glad that this man is telling
me. It's important. I mean, that's what I've learned from the internet is that women wouldn't know what's wrong with them if it were not for men with podcasts. And that's one of the reasons I started my...
Thank you for your service, yes. Jessica.
Because really, it's my hidden meeting is I'm actually hoping to share the message from these men under the guise of... of comedy.
Making fun of them. Mm-hmm. Dang. Mm-hmm. We're sorry. On to you, Chesco.
I shouldn't have said it. All right, here's the first one.
Digital apps are the gateway to prostitution.
Oh,
I have not been paid yet. So I'm a little upset.
That's frustrating, right?
Yeah. I've been just doing this for free. Right.
I'm not even sure what he means by that. Do you think that's like a OnlyFans kind of a dig, or is he just saying that all women are inherently sex
that's
workers
good,
by,
you know, I like who, that's probably, it probably is an OnlyFans thing. Cause he didn't say dating apps. Also, who calls it digital apps? Like as opposed to what?
It's an analog anyway, apps. I'm not gonna, you never had, right?
Yeah,
that's what you get it's at a restaurant. You get an analog app.
Anyway, I feel like I could mince his words. It sounds like English is not his first language, so I'm going to try to not be a dick. But you know, he started it.
That's fair.
but I mean, like, yeah, he must mean OnlyFans because, like, I don't think unless like he's using it as like a. It's like you're like a call girl kind of thing.
Right,
like
right.
You can like order like, someone. Are you,
mm-hmm. Well, like on a dating app. So as a woman with a large social platform, how often do people, because I know I've heard from other friends, they get talked like, do you have a link? Do you have a spice? Like, how often do men like DM you or comment and ask about that?
Kind of often. It's, yeah. I think for a while they were using it as like an insult, you know, like, oh, hit us with the link, slut. You know,
right?
But then, like,
as if that's the worst possible thing you could do is have make lots of money off of men that want to see.
That's the thing. Like, it's the same kind of mentality as like if you've slept with more than two people, like I want nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. It's like you just say that you don't want me making decisions for myself. Just say it. You know, this is like a really complicated way to say that. But I also, if people are actually asking, like, hit me with the link, like, do you think I would not be peddling this out like crazy if I was trying to make money? Like, if I had a link, you would see it. Like, you
it's not like you go on there as a little secret for
Right. Like, who does that? I mean, like, you know, unless people are like, you know, trying to hide it from their employer, which is one thing, but it's like, you know, I very clearly, with my presence, don't hide much.
Right.
So it's like, I think that y'all would see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there would be any, I don't think there would be, there'd be no question.
Right.
So I do get that. I get that message sometimes, but I don't really know the intent behind it. So,
well, I think, grain of salt. The funniest thing to me would be the idea that these men that have such disdain for women that have an OnlyFans type site, as if those women would ever want to be with a man that thinks so badly of them, as if that's the thing that's going to get them to turn their ways, as if that opinion is what's going to make them see that clearly they've made wrong choices in life.
No, that is exactly right. It's like you can't go lower than zero prospects, you know? Like, there is just, I'm not, I was never... this isn't a loss in my life.
Right.
And the only thing that like really affects me is like feeling the need to say something back to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So like that, you know, they do, it does affect me at the end of the day.
Right.
With me needing to, it's my Italian side jumping out. I'm like, I can't mm-hmm. not engage with these idiots. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's so true. It's like none of these women would touch you with a 10-foot pole. So don't right. worry about it. But it's the only time that they ever get attention from women is when they're right. enraging them.
Right. Then that's all it is. It's the poking with a stick, hoping that they'll get the attention that nobody's given them in real life.
Exactly.
Right. And you mentioned the whole the body count thing. That's also like it's such an absurd thing, because like they really have you heard the lock and the key analogy that I've heard it on so many podcasts, and it's the dumbest thing ever. It also shows that they don't know I'm in an ADHD moment here, when they talk about like how you can tell when she's been with a lot of guys because of how it feels. It's just this complete misunderstanding or lack of understanding of how a vagina functions.
Yeah, that's like, right
they're admitting that they've never actually or have such a rare exposure to a vagina or and what exactly it entails.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what I think it is? It's like when like kids in high school that like have very clearly like never smoked weed
right.
are like, oh yeah, I was like so stoned yesterday. Like I ate so many Cheetos. And it's like, if you just like talk like you know what you're talking right. about, then like it's, but you like overshare to
right.
the point where it's like, I don't think you actually know what you're talking
yeah.
about. And that's one of those cases. It's like, just mm-hmm. say you've never been with a woman
mm-hmm.
or someone with a vagina. Just say it. Like, mm-hmm. 'cause clearly that's the case. Like you said, pushing entire humans mm-hmm. out of a vagina and it's snapping right back into place.
Right.
Like you, like biologically speaking, have zero idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a funny way for them to tell on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just so, they just expose themselves just so flawlessly. Mm-hmm. It's poetry.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, the only reason they feel small is clearly because she's been with a guy that has a larger member than them. It couldn't just right. be them once again exposing some details about themselves.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so pathetic. It's
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. Sure.
We can move along. Yeah. I could go on about this for hours.
He has more to say. This is still number one that we're on right here. So let's
thank go God.
And you know, proud of having sugar daddies, and this is women from actually well-to-do households as well, where even education is there.
Oh, what the fuck? I just don't. Okay. I mean, is he
what do you think he means by sugar daddy? Also, because I feel like there's an actual definition of it, and there's what yeah. these guys think sugar daddy means.
So, yeah, I think that he thinks that a sugar daddy is a guy that just like bankrolls everything for mm-hmm. a woman. I think that that must be what they think that it is.
Well, but I feel like he would consider himself to be a sugar daddy simply for paying for a date. Right. I feel like yeah, the bar right. for him of what a sugar daddy is, because you're right, a sugar daddy in the, because that there's something like, you know, there's that exists where it's this
yeah.
a financial relationship where, you know, you yeah. can provide that for company. It could be, it doesn't even have to be sexual. Right. Those kind of things exist. But when they say they use that term so often, right, mm-hmm. that they are definitely not talking about that. They are talking about she only wants me for my money. Because I bought her, you know, TGI Fridays. Does that even exist anymore? But because I took her to Cheesecake Factory, right, and paid for the whole meal, that she wants me to be her sugar daddy. That's not how it functions. That's not how it works.
No, this is why I never, when I was still dating, I would never go on dinner dates for the first date, and I would also never let them pay for, like, if we were getting drinks, I would just right. like, let's just buy our own drinks. Because like, even if they were like great guys, it was just kind of this like impulse that I had. Cause I'm like, I don't want you to feel like I owe you anything mm-hmm. for like buying me like a $5 drink, you know?
Right.
Like, so it's sad. It's like the expectation or not the expectation, like the, like how they're, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, anyway, how they're just like understanding how a woman is, like, just because, like, oh, maybe we took them out, like, we took her out for dinner and she didn't want to see me after that. Right. She must have just been using me for my money, when it's like, could you just maybe, like, maybe it's just because you're, like, difficult to be around. And, like,
That's the thing. The comments from these guys, because I'll get them. I made a video. I'll talk about that in a second. Roughly about this idea a couple weeks ago. And this guy is, like, he'll be, like, showing this horrible disdain for women and everything about them. And it'd be, like, and so that's why I'm single right now, is because they only want me for my money. I have a feeling that it has to do with the – you, right? I have a feeling that there's maybe a little bit more than that.
Right, because also that connection makes no sense. Like, they only want me for my money, so they don't want to be, or, like, don't you think that would mean that they do, like, they would want to be with you, like, if that was actually what they were thinking? It's so stupid.
Well, and I feel like your perspective you brought up, though, where you actually don't necessarily want them to pay for you, is pretty common nowadays. It's more common than people expect. And so, but they still complain constantly, like, where they have to do it. Because I mentioned this is a long time ago. I started dating my wife, if it was almost 16 years ago, right? So that's a long time ago, right? Yeah. But even back then, that same narrative was there. Right, like, you have to. They're all, if you don't make enough money, if you don't do certain things. But, like, I was so broke. I mentioned on TikTok. I made my first year dating my wife. I was a grad student. I was making $13,000 a year.
Right? Oh my God!
If she was with me for my money, then she that's the bar is even lower than I ever expected.
Right.
But what did I do? Yeah. Wait, our first date, like, and it turns out, you know, we became. You know, we were friends for a few months before we started dating. And so she was very aware of how broke I was at the time. And so we actually went to the zoo for our first date. And zoo's expensive. You know, I couldn't afford to buy her. And so we bought our own tickets. And that was fine. And amazingly, she stayed with me. Right. She did not do that. And I was broke well into it. Like, I make pretty good money now, but well into our relationship, I was so broke. but according to them, that's not possible. The only thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's against all odds, Chesco. Like, that's clearly a fluke, because women only want men with money. So
that's the only thing that exists out there, as opposed to when you actually talk to women who admit to dating guys constantly who don't have any.
Absolutely. I was talking about this with Liz, who, if my podcast co-host, about, like, the fact that, like, I don't think I've ever talked to any man who takes the advice of these people, like, in the video we're in the middle of watching, or, like, Andrew Tate. I've never known any of them to end up in, like, happy, healthy relationships.
Oh, yeah.
But people are still following, like, this word, like, it's, like, gospel. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, do we not care about, like, data or numbers? Like, do we have any sort of, like, case study of when this has worked? I don't think that we do. So it's like,
well, they'll know a guy that says it's true, so it has to be true.
Right. Yeah. Right. I know a guy who knows a guy who has found success. And it's so irritating. Cause it's like, why don't you ask women for advice on dating women?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that we know.
And even though they're taking the advice of these dating experts, these gurus that are out there, they're still clearly frustrated and angry because their dating is going terrible. So instead of, like, thinking, maybe this advice is bad, they double down on it. And they're like, no, it's just women are evil. I'm not gaslighting them enough. I need to work on my manipulation techniques a bit more in order for them to see that, that I am, in fact, perfect, and there's no work I need to do on myself.
Yes, it is such a strange thing to, like, move your own goalposts. It's like, this is now, I mean, it always was, but now it's very obviously a you thing. Like, but they don't have that kind of, like, lateral thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist.
No. All right, let's go to, let's move on to a second part.
Second, no grace or softness, put zero efforts with an expectation that everything should be done for them.
Grace or softness.
Yes, women now have no grace or softness and expect that everything should be done for them.
Damn, that's fucking, that is facts, my dude. I mean, like, the idea, their whole, like, 1950s housewife view of how women should be is so skewed because, like, back then, the men would have to do everything for them because they were staying at home, you know? Like, they were, like, taking care of the household. And so, like...
And also, there was there literally was this manipulation going on because if a woman left, you know, back in the 70s or in the 50s, like you said, women couldn't have bank accounts, right? They couldn't even, that was literally a recent phenomenon. In roughly my life period, like my lifetime, women have just gotten access to bank accounts. Right. That is absurd. I remember learning about that and it explained so much about what they're like, well, women before were happy to do all of this stuff. No, they were literally held hostage, right? It did not matter.
Choice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So like, I mean, the idea that like, well, like now that you've like lost that like softness, like we don't do anything for you. It's like, yeah, true king. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like, is he kind of a, like a undercover, like feminist icon? Right. Like that's kind of like, thanks for pointing that out. Right? Like, yeah, like we don't, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Like, we're able to do things for ourselves now.
And they want, like, he goes, I feel like these points are also contradictory because in the first one, he's saying that he does not want to provide, basically. He's like, women are only want your money. But in the second point, he's upset that the whole trad wife thing, that women don't want to be the traditional 1950s stereotypical household. If you want that to happen, what do you think was occurring in order for that to
the A to B thinking is just lost. They're just so brainwashed by all of this information that they're taking in from these like awful like manosphere influencers that it's like they're just at this point they're just robots just kind of spewing out like buzzwords and like sentences and they're just all kind of wires are getting crossed.
And even unpacking the whole like what do you think he means that women want to be served hand over foot, whatever his exact wording was there, want to be waited on, don't want to do anything, right? I think he means that you have to do something. It's not that they expect men to do everything. It's the idea that men have to do anything is clearly this feminist nightmare for men that they cannot just exist in a relationship and then be waited on by their servant when they get home from work.
Yeah. This is just like a really long way to say that you're lazy.
Right.
Like that's kind of like the idea that I'm getting from this. Like, well, I don't want to have to like bankroll your life and like I don't want to have to like wait on you hand and foot and like it's like sure there has to be balance but that's not what he's saying. No. Like it's very clearly like women have ruined themselves and so I'm not taking out the trash. It's like I'm not doing the dishes tonight. It's just
I want to offer you nothing and expect you to do everything, and if you can't handle that then this isn't going to work out.
It's on you.
Yeah. And then you're going to die alone. Isn't that the worst thing ever, Amelia?
With cats? Like, ugh. Their whole thing is like, I'm like, oh no, fingers crossed.
Right. Well, I don't have the, there's another, that's another contradictory thing that once again, they're completely oblivious to, is that I've seen clips where they're like, well, if you don't settle, then you're going to end up lonely. But at the same time, there will be clips where women have it so easy. That if you want to date someone, you have so many options that you could find some. So which is it? Is it that you're going to be lonely forever or that you have it so easy because you have so many options? Right? How can it be both at the same time?
Yeah, I know. And they, if you ask them that, I think their heads would pop off of their necks. Like they would have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, all the options are bad because like you're bad and you're going to end up alone. It's like, how that doesn't, you can't have so many and all of the options and also none. Like you're like, it's just, but they don't, their two brain cells are already working overtime. You know, they can't make that connection themselves.
what's either, if you don't settle for me, you're going to end up without me. It's like, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, right. Like, promise.
Third, feminism has killed their femininity, especially with the younger girls who are Gen Z. They look like smoked up druids walking around.
Feminism has killed their femininity, especially with younger girls who are Gen Z. They look like smoked up druids walking around.
Smoked up druids?
Smoked up druids.
I would love to be called that.
That's amazing, right?
I want to be a smoked up druid. What the hell? Nobody's ever called me that. Gen Z gets everything.
Right.
No, they are so afraid of feminism, which is, it's telling on themselves so, so much. Like,
right.
They're afraid of women feeling empowered and equal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That, like, I have never, it's so, like, what do you think feminism is?
Right.
Like, truly, like, I just want to sit down with one of them and ask, mm-hmm. because they've also, like, kind of, like, militarized all of these women, too, mm-hmm. that, like, are very, like, outspoken against feminism.
Right.
And it's like, what do y'all think that this is?
Right.
Like, and I know that there's, like, new wave feminism is, like, pushing a lot of people away from, like, the movement because it's, like, all of these things that it once wasn't, la la la, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like the basis of what feminism is. The fact that there is any women that are against that mm-hmm. is so, it's just proof that it's just been watered down so much by mm-hmm. this like vitriol from these men. It's pathetic.
And like, and that's the thing about like third wave feminism, however you want to like define it. And let me mansplain feminism to you, Amelia. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. But like the idea that it's fractured though, and it's split, and it can mean so many different things, is a good thing, right? It's mm-hmm. because the reason why the first two waves of feminism were so kind of monolithic in a lot of ways and very very focused was because there was such a big overarching. Like thing where women couldn't have bank accounts, they couldn't vote before that, right? It was these huge things that in order for you before you could ever get to the idea that women don't have to shave their armpits if they don't want to, don't have to do all these other like different versions of feminism that are out there. Before you could get to that point, you need to be able to establish that you are a human. Right. And so it yeah. makes sense why the quote unquote old version of feminism was there, because literally when women were treated as property. Right. And so this is
yeah.
people that get so mad at the fact that it's splintered, but that's a beautiful thing. If you don't ascribe to one type of feminism, right. If you don't ascribe to ecofeminism, if you don't ascribe to whatever it is that you're talking about, then just don't do that. Right. You don't have to follow. And that's you can kind of pick your flavor of it. And that's still feminism. Right. But they don't.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand. So I think people just assume they pick and choose the worst parts or the parts they think are the worst. And they're like, that's all that feminism is.
Right. Absolutely. They don't want to have to do any sort of like mental like brain right. work to try to understand it. So it's easier just to lump it all together as bad,
right.
which is sad. And mm-hmm. dangerous, but it's just, it's what's happening. It's, we're watching it unfold before us. And it's always been, obviously there's always been sects of people right. that are against a good movement.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the internet,
mm-hmm.
everybody has a voice for better or for worse. And it's amplifying all of these like horrible narratives
mm-hmm.
and spreading them so far. And it's just, it's like, it's the real pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's because the algorithm is feeding you a very specific type of thing too. If everyone you're watching you're being fed is saying that feminism is X, right. And that's yeah. all you're hearing over and over. Then I'm not even mad at people don't believe that, you know, what they believe is part of feminism, or that don't believe that they're included in that movement. Cause also, even traditionally, you know, feminism has been very racist
yes.
throughout. So there is a reason why I think there are good reasons to be like, no, fuck that. I don't want to identify
Absolutely.
With that. versus the one bad reason, and this is probably sounds to me terrible saying this as a man, but the one bad reason is that, you know, men should remain in power, right? I feel comfortable saying that if you're not a feminist because you believe women are weak and should be subservient and that the only way to happiness is if men make all the decisions, that's probably a problematic take, right? I wouldn't feel comfortable being like, well, that's an okay stance.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I mean, as is most things, there have been problematic aspects of movements, right. But it's like, it's not even, I mean, these dudes are not, like you're saying, they're not thinking about it in terms of like, oh, but this movement's been like problematic in the sense of like racism and like it needs to be more intersectional.
Yeah, that's
like,
not the stuff they're talking about.
No.
Yeah. The people that are talking about that are usually brilliant, right? The people that are thinking about it as a chess game.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But these people, like this guy we're watching right now, is 100% not ever, he's not even heard the word intersectional.
Right.
You know, like that's too big a word for Elmo.
Right.
So it's just so frustrating to hear them talk about this, knowing exactly what they mean by it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's vitriol. I think I've said that word already, but that's exactly what it is.
Feminist women don't want to be my property, and that is problematic.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's ruined me from having to do literally any, not having to do literally anything, and be gifted a someone who will just simply stay with me because there's no other option.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chesco, do people send you these videos? How do you come across these? I'll see you like stitching with a video. I'm like, how did he come across this?
I get tagged in a lot of them. And unfortunately, my YouTube algorithm is because I joined YouTube fairly recently once I started responding to more of these guys. And because I was seeking them out, now they just get served to me. So anytime I go on YouTube, it is red pill haven. I don't get to look at videos on YouTube anymore because that is literally the only thing that is served up to me on that it's not even like they're hard to find though now, because they're just everywhere. There's so many of them. There's thousands of these guys that have, you know, hundreds of thousands if not millions of followers. Right. And you see this, the saddest part about it is like, I have a lot of friends that are high school teachers, and they're seeing it so pervasive, right? So these guys are literally preying on 16-year-old boys, right, who don't know better, who are so insecure and whose entire social circle is often gendered to be the boys. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they hear these things and then they have this echo chamber with other boys that have been hearing these same things. And now those, you know, when this started, those boys have grown into men, right? And are now sharing these things. And you know, it's sad because it's that now we're having to unpack this and learn this. You know, I have guys all the time that were like, I didn't even know there was another perspective, right? Because all I was seeing, all I heard growing up was this super misogynistic, horrible, gaslighting, manipulative bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you watched the Social Dilemma, the documentary about Facebook?
No.
Oh, okay. Chesco, it's so good. It's really, really well done. But it talks a lot about how like the ad platforms that these, specifically Facebook, but I mean everything, has of like, it's all so revenue focused that like drawing people further and further into these echo chambers are good for the platforms because it makes them money, because then they're seeing ads that like fit to these narratives that they've been brainwashed into thinking. And so it's like these social platforms and like you seeking out this content and then getting served it, like that is so, I feel like there's like a pretty bow tied on it that's like, oh, the algorithms, like they're showing us what we like, but it's like, it's actually like they're trying to make money off of you staying on the platform for as long as possible and pulling people deeper and deeper into that echo chamber is why we're living in such a post-truth era. Like it's why QAnon flourishes. It's like, you know that, I don't know if you've seen that gif of the person like mopping up the ocean. Or like shoveling while they're snowing. That's how it feels. It's like the second that like, you know, one of these guys gets taken down, there's like another, like when Andrew Tate went to jail, it's like, you're like hyped about it for a sec, but then like, you're like, oh shit, he's just the, like, one of the biggest ones. There are so many of them now. It's terrifying. It's really, absolutely. It's like trying to mop up the ocean. It's too much.
Well, even, and like, I have a 9-year-old, right? And this is, where I get to the point where people are like, we should get rid of social media. I'm like, yeah, maybe we should. Because like he'll be like, and I know free expression, blah, blah, blah. I'm not actually saying to get rid of it, but there's something needs to be done because like he literally, I'm sitting next to him. I'll like, you know, partially monitor what he's watching. I want to give him a little agency because he's to be his own person, but I want to make sure he's not being listening to these horrible things. He's looking at Minecraft videos, Lego videos, and like Plants vs. Zombie videos. And literally I'm looking at the suggestion bar and there's like a Ben Shapiro video that's, and like what, and this is a separate account. That's not, it's not like it's getting like cookies from my account. Yeah. It's a whole separate thing that I set up for him on his iPad. And yet it's literally being pushed because it's showing once again, that young boys that are watching this content, oh, you might also like this Sneeko. Right. Or whoever the flavor of the month of these horrible dudes are that are being pushed to them. And it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible. There has to be some sort of checks and balances, but I mean, like I think that these platforms have just like grown too fast, especially TikTok. Like, I mean, they've gotten it a bit more under control, but like for a while there, specifically during the pandemic, like they could not get this like awful content off the internet quickly enough. Like they were like hiding like really awful videos. Like it would be like a cartoon in the beginning and then it would be like an awful video in the middle of it. And it's just like when there is an opportunity for bad actors to like make an impact, they're going to figure out a way to do it. And like now that they've automated so much of it, they're showing like Ben Shapiro videos to like people watching Minecraft videos. It's like they're growing too fast and they're automating too much. And the automation is just not up to the standard that we need it to be. And like, whenever I talk to anyone about this, they're like, well, what's the solution? It's like, it's not my job. You know, I don't know what the solution is, but like there are,
you're allowed to be upset about something without knowing how to fix that thing.
Totally. Yeah. There are people making 6 figures a year and more, you know, that are not doing nearly as much as they should be to keep these platforms.
Because if it cuts into their revenue, it's not worth it. Right. It has to be. Yeah. It has to be a solution that still nets them more money somehow.
Yes. Yep. 100%. My God.
Well, and it's also even here. One last thing about that too, is because, and I have, it's also a reckon, because I think people want to blame parents for not doing enough, but it's also a very privileged kind of take on that, right? In the sense that I have the ability to monitor my child when he's on there, right? I'm either working from home or I am, you know, it's something where I'm allowed to. There's only so much parental controls can do, right? If I was, you know, I might give him a phone because he is taking the bus home from school and has to be on his own for a little bit, or because I have to be somewhere else. And, you know, the kids are smart, you know, like we had all these, and luckily he didn't use it for any nefarious reasons, but we had all these privacy controls on my son's laptop and he figured it out. He figured out how to get into it because he wanted to look up pictures of the Super Mario Brothers that he could draw. Right. But that drive. So like I said, this very innocent thing, I can see his browsing history, you know, on his thing, this very innocent reason though, was enough that he was able to figure out, okay, well, I know this password because I've seen them log into their iPad at one point, or I've seen this other thing, right? And he was able to figure out how to hack into his own computer just because of that. And that's as a 9-year-old, right? To think that a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old wouldn't be able to do that is too much. And expecting every parent to be able to have the time and the resources to continually monitor and not be in a situation where the kid might need access to those things, not necessarily social media, but to a phone where they can then access social media is not realistic. And so the companies have to be the ones that are doing more, but it doesn't feel like they are.
No, totally. Totally. It's also like when I was growing up and the internet, like I grew up with the internet, like the one dangerous place to be were chat rooms. Like that was it. And now, like, I mean, I don't want to like get into the whole like predator conversation, right? Because, but that's really like, I mean, that's the extreme of it too. Like, mm-hmm. they are, everything is dangerous now. Mm-hmm. Like, people are like, I know Omegle was like, right. it turned into this just like horrible, you know, awful thing. But like, that was an example of like, mm-hmm. there were so many predators on there that were like, and that's why, I mean, it ultimately shut down, right. but like, they seep into these popular places that kids are mm-hmm. because like, they know that there's such limited exposure for the kids, like Roblox. I don't even know mm-hmm. how Roblox works. And I always hear about it just being this like cesspool
right.
for predators. And it's just like, isn't that a game? Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening? Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's gotten so bad online. And it's gotten out of everyone's hands, so people can have the best intentions and have the most parental controls on, and there's still going to be people that figure out how to cause some sort of harm.
Right.
It's awful.
I feel like this is the one area where everyone agrees that the internet is terrible, but for different reasons.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Like, conservatives hate social media because I'm on it and you're on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like these guys are like, yeah, but and then we hate it because there it's so. I mean, it's and it's yeah. it does come down to like, there are obviously certain objective things that I think do people obviously know are wrong. If there's predators, if there's people that are going after kids, like those things are obviously going to be shut down,
right?
But I even have to admit, like, I don't know what it goes back to what you said. I don't know what to do, right? Because I know that I'm not the only one that should be allowed to have an opinion about something. I know that there are certain things that I disagree with, but you know, they still should have access to the internet. Not everything,
right?
Where there is a line that does get crossed certain times, but it does seem like they tend to censor or strike the people that are speaking out against this stuff more than the people that are doing those things.
Yes. Yes. It's horrible. And whenever I like, well, what's the word when you like, you get a content strike and then you argue it. What's that word?
Contest it or?
Yeah. What's the other word for that? Anyway, whatever. Mm. Let's just use contest
sure.
it.
Challenge it.
And I'll like submit like the little like
right.
blurb for it. I always say, I'm like, I'm speaking out against the people that are doing bad things. But then there's like all of these, like you're saying, mm-hmm. there's all these videos that like are just like spewing all of this venom all over the place, and they are getting like limitless exposure,
right.
And it starts to feel nefarious. Like, it starts to feel intentional because it's so common, mm-hmm. and that makes you question the intention of these platforms, because like, regardless of whether or not that's their intention, like, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a trans friend who his whole platform is like spreading awareness about like just a trans experience. Mm-hmm. And he's so positive about how he talks about it, but so many of his comments are just so hateful and horrible, and people will mass report him. And then he has dealt with his account being banned like dozens of times. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's nobody actually checking what's going on here. It's like, they're just like taking the word of these awful people because there's so many of them and they're so loud. They're taking it as fact. And
right.
it's just like pulling us further and further into this like pit of just like an awful place to be. And it's just so dangerous.
Well, and you mentioned the automation aspect of it too. It's like almost impossible to get a hold of a human at these places. Even if you're a big creator, I know people that have millions of followers that still their account will get banned or turned off or something goes wrong. And it's almost impossible to reach a human being.
Yes. Yes. I don't think I've ever actually talked to an actual person at TikTok.
Right.
And then also, like, I know that on Instagram, they were baiting people into buying the blue check mark mm-hmm. to get it, like, access to an actual person.
Right.
And I didn't buy a blue check mark, mm-hmm. but like, I know a lot of people who have that have still not seen anything from that. So it's just like the fact that they're like, oh, we know that you want this, mm-hmm. but you're still not going to get it is like,
well, and it's also, they make
sad.
It, do you know that for, I know if you get the check mark the old way, you don't need to put your personal information on there. But I looked into it because I thought that was a good shiny thing. I was like, ooh, I get access to a person when something goes wrong. And so I was going to do it, but it said, okay, but your legal name has to be on your profile in order for that to happen. And those of us that are speaking against some of these terrible things on the internet, right? A lot of us don't have our real names on there.
Right.
Because of the backlash. Or, you know, for me, like if it was just me, I would probably have my real name on there, but I have children. Right. And I don't want them to then, you know, be targets of anything just because I decided to speak out against, you know, this violence against women, right? Because, you know, the people that are committing violence against women also like committing violence against other people, right? And so there's a reason why I want to keep there at least a level of anonymity there. But in order to then get access so that I don't get banned or demonetized, which happens all the time on Meta, I have to pay money and then put my information out there. And they keep saying they're going to change it, but they haven't yet.
Right. I mean, like, that's been the issue all along. Like, when Elon, like, introduced the, like, being able to pay for a check mark, and then everybody was, like, changing their names to Elon Musk on Twitter, so they would have, so it would look like him. That's the danger of it, too, is, like, and why they want you to have your legal name, because, like, there are so many people that could, like, bait children into, like, coming and meeting, like, their favorite celebrity because it says that it's actually them and it's not actually them. So it's, like, that's the thing. It's, like, there are these things in place that are there so that it can like be safer, but then it's not safer for a lot of people. Like you not having your name on anything is so, I got my first actual death threat kind of recently and which was a huge reason that I sped up the moving process. Like I broke my lease 6 months early.
Wow.
And like it was one of those realizations of like that I didn't realize that having my name and people knowing that I'm from Seattle was such a, like, everything online is so accessible. I mean, now I used, this sounds like an ad or a sponsorship. Yeah. It's not. I used Delete Me to like get everything taken off the internet. And so I feel safer now, but for a while it was so accessible. That's, it's the issue. Like if your mission is to call out bad people are going to make your life hell for it. And there's just nothing, in place to keep people safe from that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this was a great lighthearted conversation, Amelia.
I don't know how we got to this.
But this is great. We have our, I think people came in here expecting a lot more lighthearted comedy and they got some serious lessons about what it's like to be a creator speaking out against, you know, really terrible toxic people on the internet.
I know people are going to leave this episode like, I'm sad now.
It's honestly one of the reasons why, because this is, people talk about how quote unquote hard this job is of social media. It's not hard from a, like a work perspective, right? I don't work hard, but the, it's all the extra stuff that goes into it that I see a time limit on the amount of time I'll be doing this for. Like I will do this for as long as it takes, where I feel like I've done some good and, you know, where I feel like I've done my part in trying to kind of counter some of this toxicity before I hand off the reins and, you know, just, and hope other people will also, you know, there's a lot of people obviously doing it, but I can't do this forever, especially as my kids get, you know, older and older. I think I'll probably tail it down a bit because it is very, it's very hard from the having to deal with the fact that this is not just a TV show, right? It's not normal. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not, and you don't even get all the benefits, like, you know, of being rich and famous. You just get a lot of the negativity with a taste of the benefits. And so
100%. Yeah. We're like, it's like how like people in the NFL have like a lifespan physically. I feel like people online have a bit of a lifespan mentally.
Right.
Like that we can put up with this because it is a little draining. And like you've mentioned a few times, when you have to worry about like other people that like you're taking care of, it changes. I would imagine, I mean, I don't have kids, but like I would imagine it changes everything.
Absolutely.
It's just a whole other layer to think about. There's just too many bad people in the world. It's horrifying.
Well, that's a great note to end on.
Should I like tell a joke or something to like leave off?
We'll find something positive to say. Real quick, where can people find you on the internet, Amelia?
On everything at Amelia Samson, AmeliaSamson, all one word. I also have a podcast that I co-host with one of my best friends, Liz. It's called The Holy Hour, HOE. It is not safe for work, so do not listen to it on the speakers at work, but it is a lot of fun, and we're both huge fans of Chesco's, so you know that we're good.
And for the people that are bummed about not being able to find stuff about you online, what's your social security number and new address?
It's what?
Here we go. The Holy Hour is great. I honestly listen to it. I have to listen to it in headphones because I have very young children in here. But I really do. Your podcast is great.
Oh my God. We're going to have you on. Me and Liz both love you.
Oh my God. I would love to. I would love to.
Thank you so much. That means so much. Yeah, we would love to have you on. So we'll
absolutely.
We'll talk offline.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
do you have any advice for people just from, obviously you're in a relationship now, but if someone is on the dating scene and they are hearing all this terrible stuff and they're navigating these guys that are obviously hearing these things, do you have any advice that you have heard either from your followers or from your own experience that would help them kind of avoid being with someone who's going to treat you this way?
I mean, this is so like woo-woo, but like trust your gut, because more often than not, your gut is correct. And don't write someone off just because they don't seem like your type right off the bat, because like people kept saying to me, like, you should date against type because clearly it hasn't worked for you. And, you know, I needed that little wake up. So trust your gut and surprise yourself, I guess, are my two pieces of advice.
I love to hear it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I always love chatting with you.
Absolutely. And I want to have you both on eventually. So I'll come on yours. You guys come on here and we'll have some fun.
I would love that more than anything.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.